podcast where I, Lydia,
and I, Ashna,
open up the conversation on sustainability to inform and empower.
We want to connect real people to topics they care and are curious about, but without the jargon or BS.
Join us as we chat about all things sustainability related and how they intersect with our daily lives.
From eating out to what we wear to the latest technology and more.
And we're also going to bring in some really cool guests doing cool things for people and the planet.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
We're very excited to have another guest episode. We're having so many great guests on during lockdown.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It's been such a nice time to connect with people. And we've got Kerry with us today. It's Kerry Bannigan, and she's an event creator, producer, and entrepreneur, creating global activations and initiatives. And those initiatives are all about advocating for sustainable development within the fashion industry, particularly. So, she's always looking to champion that intersection between events, fashion, and media as the sort of shaping forces for global good, which is super interesting. And both me and Ashna are very curious to find out more. We were actually meant to meet with Kerry at the at a conference that she was running, involved in back in March, right before lockdown started. But things being how they were at the time meant that we couldn't get together. So this has been a long time coming. So we're really excited. So she's the founder of the Conscious Fashion Campaign, which is a collaboration with the United Nations Office for Partnerships. And as I say, she's engaging with these global fashion industry events. So that's like trade shows, fashion weeks, conferences, to get to raise awareness and secure commitments from the people going to these events to achieve the sustainable development goals through fashion. It's kind of an en masse approach to rallying the industry and getting them to really work out what sustainability means for their companies, for the industry as a whole, and to the individuals there as well. So really looking forward to hearing more about how she actually does this. It's not something we've really kind of had another guest in that field on the podcast before, so be really interested to find out more.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess why this matters, we've talked, I think it's our very first episode was on the fashion industry, because it's one we really like talking about. Then we had Gung Ho talked about it as well, but I think for us we've touched on the whole topic of what are the UN Sustainable Development Goals, but not really in terms of how do they relate to specific industries and who's also responsible. Is it, again, we've talked a lot about, is it the consumer? Is it the industry? But really using the platform of different events, different types of touch points with the industry as a place to really ensure that they are aligned with the UN Sustainable Development Goals, and also just educating people on what that is. For both Lydia and I, we're in the environmental sector, and we focus a lot on them, but a lot of people don't really know what they are and how we all need to be responsible to uphold them.
Yeah. And the fashion industry is such an influential sector as well. So I think globally it's worth like $3 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And so just working with that kind of gravitas behind you to really move towards achieving the sustainable development goals, that's got to mean something. So
yeah,
really worthwhile what Kerry's doing.
And I think also just from our conversation led at the beginning of when we started this podcast, it was a lot of research on, you know, how much water gets used to make a pair of jeans. And it was all these eye-opening facts of, okay, the fashion industry does play a part in sustainability, and there's a lot that can be changed, and really exploring what does fast fashion look like. But I really think, you know, as a society, we're aware of that now, which is great. You know, we're aware of the impacts of fast fashion and the negative side of the industry. So I think now I really want this episode to really be about how do we move forward? What are the things that we can look at to align with the Sustainable Development Goals.
And we've also got a little challenge as well, which is us taking a look at our own wardrobes, myself and Ashna. We'll come to that later, but first let's let Kerry introduce herself. So welcome, Kerry, and how are you doing?
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. And as you had mentioned, we were meant to meet in person and do this, but times have changed, and rapidly so, even from those 2 months ago when we were meant to do this. So thank you again for having me. I'm doing well. I am in the UK, usually based in the US. But very happy to be here. UK is home for me for my upbringing, but I've been living in the US for over 16 years now, and more so with my work. And as I said, you know, I'm so grateful to the both of you being able to help raise awareness and keep us connected through education and engaging topics during this time. So it's amazing what you're doing, and please keep it up for all of us. For me, my background, as you had mentioned, is in events. I'm a social impact event creator. I produce, but I also curate and grow global activations and initiatives that advocate for sustainable development. And one that is specifically important for today's conversation and aligns is the Conscious Fashion Campaign. And I know we'll go into that in a little bit further into the discussion, but the Conscious Fashion Campaign is a brief. It was created to bridge the gap between the United Nations and the Sustainable Development Goals and the fashion industry, and how we could look to align and champion the innovators and the change makers in the industry to show what was possible to do good for people and planet.
And in that, I guess what we'll, I'm jumping ahead and diving too deep, but was it difficult to really approach these change makers to talk about different things than what they were normally doing?
No, actually, I was thrilled and very positively overwhelmed when we had come up with this idea. This is run in collaboration with the United Nations Office for Partnerships. And when we'd first pitched this idea of bringing these worlds together, because both are so influential and powerful in their own right, and to think what their impact they could create together would be incredible. And so when we started talking to the industry, it was just amazing, and it's so inspiring, the things that companies are doing, small to large, and whether they are individuals with scientific to environmental to human rights to designers and creators, all the different work that they are doing and the change that they want to push forward is absolutely incredible. And we just believed with the Conscious Fashion Campaign, we needed to highlight some of that, and being able to spotlight what is already happening, we truly believe inspires people to see how they can actually adapt this and adopt practical solutions. And I think when you start realizing what is going on, and also looking at and being educated around the negative impact on what the solutions are that you can implement, whether as an individual, as a business owner, as a company, as an employee, that we can all together take collective action. And we use the Sustainable Development Goals as that framework to guide people.
And what does this kind of mean to you personally? I mean, why did you come to this in the first place?
So my background is in fashion. When I first moved to New York when I was 21 years old, within a couple of years, I actually set up a runway production company that would showcase brands during New York and London Fashion Week that were new to market or were independent fashion brands. And I just truly believed, my partner at that time, that there was not a professional hub that could showcase these brands to be taken seriously by the industry. You were finding brands were doing a showcase at their friends' bars in strange hours, or doing it in a nightclub space. And so we decided to build a very professional hub that would allow them to be a part of New York Fashion Week at a peak time for the industry and for them in their career. Through all of that, as my company grew, we would do a lot of activations and partnerships with governments that would want to provide more support to the creatives in their countries and would want to showcase them during New York Fashion Week. And for me at that time, sustainability and ethical was such a different thing. Give back was so different. I've always been involved in the give back of the fashion space, but you're going back now 16 years, where when we first started to introduce ethical fashion brands to the mainstream fashion media, they kind of just looked at me. The color palette wasn't right, or the fit wasn't right, or the story wasn't glamorous and sexy. And, you know, it was so different back then. And we would try and show, like, it's beautiful. Look at what these artisans have done. Look at the stories here. But runway shows were exactly that. They're a show. They're there to emphasize escapism and creativity. And yes, it is about business, but we were definitely in a different mindset back then. So I found myself more so in the fashion space. It was, if you want to do a give back and help causes through fashion, it was more you would do a fundraiser or a brand, even if they weren't sustainable in their business practices, you would end up working with them to donate proceeds of their profits. It was very, very different to how things are looked at today, where you've got the buy one, give one, or even within a brand, you buy a pair of shoes and a pair of shoes are donated. And sustainability these days actually jumps now into the true core of human rights, environmental practices, and so forth. So for me, it's been a natural evolution of being able to combine my love of doing good with fashion, because we are now at a point in society that we have to combine purpose and profit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess before we dive too deep in, let's do our switch on, switch off moments. So Carrie, I know we chatted about this before we started recording, but did you have any that you wanted to share, either a switch on or a switch off moment?
Yeah, so for me, my switch on moment is much more personal than professional. During lockdown, I have found myself home cooking a lot more. There is an appreciation for local foods. And I would actually say, just on supply sides of where I'm staying in this British village, is the farmer's market, which I did not find myself doing pre-COVID as much as I should have been. And now, purchasing from the farmer's market every Friday and then preparing your list to see if they can bring things to you the following Friday and having to wait has become a new thing for me.
Yeah, definitely. I've been getting Odd Box, which is wonky fruit and veg that gets delivered. And I used to make my grocery lists first and then go shopping, then make my menus around that. But now I get this Odd Box on Sunday. Then I make my list of what I want to make for the week. And it's really cool because it's all about the local fruit and veg and working right my menus around what's available rather than me needing to source a certain type of kale or whatever.
Exactly. That's what I found. And I think it's given me a real appreciation just for the local farmers, just the local food and the small businesses attached to that and what it means. And I think it takes you on a journey and an appreciation of the food itself, because definitely, it's about what's available that week.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I think I'm realizing actually how it's a bit of a switch on moment, I think. I'm realizing how much, because of lockdown, I've been not using like transport, like carbon dioxide emitting transport, because for obvious reasons. So I think my footprint in that area has probably gone down a lot because I'm just walking everywhere. Occasionally do a trip in the car if we're going a bit further afield. But I do think you hear about all the sort of reduction in smog and things in these cities during lockdown, and I just wonder what the impact of that has been, really. And just reflecting on my own, I don't see why it wouldn't be quite a big impact. So I'd be interested to see if that in any way can be maintained or whether we're just going to go back to old habits.
But that's a really interesting point you bring up there, because I was somebody that traveled a lot. And during this, it's walking or bicycling and very few times to be in the car, whether because we can't or in the moments that we are allowed. There's nowhere to go that would require the car. And what's really interesting is I'm also somebody that flew for my work. And, you know, people were hesitant when we would talk about, well, we can dial in and talk on the stage, or we can do our presentation digitally. People would be pushed back on that. And yet now, I think we've adapted so well to those that are able to work from home, to the power of actually being able to achieve remotely in so much stuff. And so I am intrigued to see now, like for myself, I will not look to get on a plane anytime soon and just to join a conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it. I think hopefully there'll be sort of a happy medium where we're not defaulting to face-to-face all the time, and we can actually lean on the technology a little bit more if it means that there'll be a positive impact. So yeah, I completely agree with that. So Ashna, have you...
Oh no, I haven't even said mine.
Oh, your Oddbox is your one. No, but no,
that's not my one. I've had that for the past few weeks. I don't... This that one I've had for all of lockdown, so it doesn't count anymore. We've done a whole episode on them. My one's actually an interesting one. I don't know. I guess it'd be good to get Carrie your opinion on it. But I normally used to, in terms of fashion, would try to find, the brands that are 100% sustainable, or the ones that are dedicated to all of their product lines being sustainable or ethically sourced or anything like that, or try to get, vintage, that type of stuff. But now I'm finding, and I think this is a good thing in a way, but I guess a controversial thing, but now I'm finding a lot of big brands like the Zaras, the H&Ms, and other stories, you know, the ones that are typically known for fast fashion, are now having a whole line dedicated to sustainability, sustainable material. So I'm just not sure if, and my switch on is I've now gotten a whole bunch of Nike clothes that are all from sustainable fabric and their range. But I'm just not sure if that's, if that is a switch on or if it's a switch off. I think great that big brands are trying to do good things, but I'm just, I'm a bit confused at where that lies.
I think we actually hear that often. People want to go back to the brands that we grew up on, let's be honest, and they are the large high street brands. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting when you see a brand that you grew up with and have so much association with their memories, then come out with something that aligns with your today's values of sustainability. But in that, I think we're faced with more than ever that it's not enough. And if they are showing now that they have the ability to do better, then we need to see it throughout the business.
Yeah.
And it takes time for the larger brands to do that. No one is discounting how complex the switch of supply chains and materials and investment is. But I think if they can do it a little bit, then we need to understand why the rest is not happening, or a timeline of when it is.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, do we actually need any more products and clothes? No. We've all got enough between us to share if and when the time is right and safe. But as consumers, a lot of people still enjoy the purchasing new or what's out and so forth. And so I think that, you can't be bashed. I think it is a switch on moment, that it's not like you've gone and bought something from their original lines. You've looked to buy something from their sustainable side, but it's how that continues and what they do as a company to grow the sustainable items in their collections.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's kind of this whole chicken and egg concept. If nobody's buying from these lines,
correct,
they don't have that demand. They don't see it in their P&L of, okay, people are actually interested in the sustainable lines. I need to make more of it. I'm going to increase my strategy to go to more sustainable lines. And I'm seeing this in the numbers. So yeah, it was one that I was like, oh, I know there's other things that they're selling and their values across their company aren't perfect. But if people are heading there, if there's commitments that I can see publicly written of the brands like Nike, for example, I'm not that opposed.
Yeah, and that's interesting, like you say, about the demand. And at the end of the day, they will only produce as a business and the bottom line to what their audience and their consumers are buying.
That's a really good point. And we kind of covered this a little bit with Amira. Do you remember, Ashna, on our greenwashing episode? And yeah, I think parallels with that conversation there, definitely it's the broader ambitions of the brand that you're kind of looking to,
yes,
which might be more important. Well, shall we dive in a little bit more about what Kerry does, and tell us a bit more about you, and breaking it down a bit for our listeners. What are the sustainable development goals, and why do they exist?
Yeah, absolutely. So expanding a little bit more on what I said about my history and background, it's always been in events, and more so business-to-business events where how we can help companies grow in the fashion space through showcases, through connecting, and specifically brands. And so with seeing all of that, and then later as my mm-hmm. event career progressed, I would then starting to do event production and partnerships within the United Nations. And I realized very quickly, as I referenced earlier, there needed to be a bridge. There needed these worlds to come together. And so with that, the Conscious Fashion Campaign was born. And with the whole premise being, how do we drive attention of the fashion industry and get commitment for them to commit to the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals? And for those that are not familiar with the Sustainable Development Goals, or also referenced as the SDGs, or here in the UK and Europe, sometimes also mentioned as the Global Goals. The SDGs are a blueprint to help us achieve a better and more sustainable future for all. There are 17 goals, and under those 17 goals, there's actually 169 targets and indicators on how we can come together to really achieve this better future. They may address and cover an array of global challenges that we're facing. These range from poverty, hunger, climate, prosperity, and even through to peace and justice. My favorite goal is goal number 17, and is highlighted here just in our conversation today, is partnerships for the goals. And truly, whilst all the goals are very interconnected, we need to ensure that to achieve one, we look at the other to make sure they're not causing any damage. But the main thing is the Sustainable Development Goals call for collective action. And for us, the Conscious Fashion Campaign, how we translate that is the importance there of coming together. And what we have seen in the industry is so much collaboration. It's absolutely incredible. I think fashion has always been deemed this very competitive space. Who's unveiling what on the high street first? Who's doing what sale? Who's doing a collaboration with a celebrity before anybody else? What do things look like at the shows? And now what you're finding as people start to delve deeper into sustainable development and how they can use their resources to do better, you see data being shared, reports that are open, findings that are open to be referenced, research. And this saves one brand repeating that because they can learn from what would be seen at some point a competitor. And so that's really interesting, just to bring it back there to the fashion space. And what the Conscious Fashion Campaign is built on, we aim to coordinate advocacy, education, and engagement of fashion industry stakeholders with the main goal of helping them implement responsible business practices that are mindful of social, economic, and environmental impact. And with that, we actually work with a lot of fashion industry events or conveners or activations, as I feel now the word has somewhat changed as we live in this lockdown lifestyle in the wake of the pandemic. And whilst we can't yet meet physically, our work has not stopped. And if anything, more than ever, we need to show people that the Sustainable Development Goals across all sectors are actually a bit of a roadmap to recovery. And it helps us to all come together to build back better. And so with our partners, we are actually now being supporting them with their digital footprint and what they are doing to share knowledge and bring their communities together in the fashion space online.
And for the kind of fashion industry as a whole, and in terms of how do they get on board with the SDGs, do you think it's, you know, a big shift in terms of the way the industry fundamentally works, in terms of having seasons, having fashion shows, having, you know, trends? These are all words that just aren't typically associated with the SDGs and a sustainable development goal. So how do you see that change to happen in small steps, or is it just radical change?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, and it's such a good point on so many levels. And I think one thing that we need to look at is if all of us made incremental changes, before we know it, there's a transformative change that's very impactful. And I think as well, the beauty of the Sustainable Development Goals is there's 17 goals. Something that matters to you might not matter to your colleague. And I think that's what happens within the fashion businesses. We've got to look at what makes sense and is realistic to our businesses, the culture internally and externally as clientele and community, and see where you can make a difference. From there, the reality is, I think once you start thinking, oh yeah, we align with gender equality, and you start looking at the targets of how you could help achieve that, you then start looking how it then leads into actual, oh, it helps with education also. Oh, and this part here, when we work with this village, we're also helping climate action. And you start learning very quickly that the goals are very interconnected. I do think, to your point where you say, well, how do people do this? And we found the industry are using the Sustainable Development Goals in various ways. Some people use it if they're a new brand. They actually build their business around the SDGs and have this sustainable development and impact in the DNA of the business. And they use the SDGs as a framework to build around. You then have, on the other hand, companies that have been around for years that have very complex structures with their supply chains, their hiring systems, and so on, or even how they dispose or get their chemicals and their fabrics. For people like that, we see companies will use it to integrate milestones, and they'll actually audit and report against the SDGs, whether it's twice a year or whether it's their annual reports. They also use it in their leadership meetings to find out how they can step by step move forward with the ethos and mission of their business without entirely losing what they set out to build.
Interesting. Yeah. So you kind of have to take different approaches with depending on what your business is and, you know, how it's structured from the outset.
Yeah, and I think as well, there's programs to guide people through how to look at this best and how to track it so that it makes sense. And the reality is, it's all about educating themselves and their employees too, so that they're very aware of what the Sustainable Development Goals are. You mentioned a moment ago about an episode you did on greenwashing. These Sustainable Development Goals are not there. We have a term called rainbow washing. You look at the 17 goals and they're so bright and beautiful and bold. They are not there for people to take them and put the little circle or take an icon, for example, and just put them on their site. The reality is they're there to help the ease of how people move towards sustainable development, so they're not doing it alone. This is a framework that can become a unified language amongst the industry, I'm referencing fashion specifically, that we can all work towards so we're on the same page. Sustainability as a definition is still so complex and vague and unclear across the industry. Mm-hmm. And you mention about the trends and the fast fashion. Yeah, this is an industry and a sector in the market that is extremely influential and is now today perpetuates on just fast moving product, and fast disposable product is not of quality. And so that needs to be addressed on so many levels, because it's not just about the fabrics. This is about the story behind the clothing, the supply chain, the human rights, the garment workers. And it's time now, and COVID has lifted a lid and exposed a lot to, I think, more so than consumers have ever seen before.
Yeah, definitely. And just sort of touching on that sort of mass industry influence, how are you helping to influence at that level? I know that you work with event leaders and that kind of translates into action across the industry. Could you just give us a bit of an example of that? I know you've done something called Pure London. Maybe that's a good example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so for us, the Conscious Fashion Campaign works with events, initiatives, and activations. And the goal with that is we partner up with these leading global industry companies so that they can help us scale to achieve the 2030 agenda that is set out with the Sustainable Development Goals. We work with these leading conveners because it helps us scale the message of the Sustainable Development Goals. We, as a movement, our goal is when we start working with these organizations, for example, Pure London, which is the UK's leading trade fashion buying event here, is we look to what we can do across their assets and their resources for their audience that makes sense. So there's the website. We start with education there and how we can help with the blog stories or people that they interview. Then when you look to on site, pre-COVID, we had been working with Pure London for several years now. We were helping them to grow their conscious collection area. And also provide further education. So integrating sustainable development goals discussions into the panels, the workshops, masterclasses, and so forth. Because the goal is, if we, with the Conscious Fashion Campaign, help to educate the stakeholders in the fashion industry, whether it is a retailer, a buyer, a designer, a creator, a manufacturer, the mills, the list goes on. If we can help give them a platform, as again, they use as a unified framework, we hope that we can then see faster industry participation and engagement, and more than anything, action, making this stuff practical and implementing sustainable methods and business principles. So with Pure London, for example, we also help them. They run an initiative called The Power of One, and it is a campaign where they have broken down action points, if you will, and made it so understandable out of the Sustainable Development Goals lingo that sometimes is too policy driven, or maybe it's too academic. And they have made it very simple so that we can all connect to it. We were all living very fast paced lives at one point. And The Power of One welcomed people to join and pledge how they could make a difference, whether it ranged from climate to water to waste, what they were going to do and how they were going to go about doing it. And the Power of One campaign is still going strong because there's a very large digital component to that. We also worked with the trade show to do a survey pre-show to the exhibitors to find out where they sat on their knowledge or involvement of the Sustainable Development Goals. And once they highlighted the work that they were doing, we looked to see what made sense and what was a reality. And then we actually had Sustainable Development Goal stickers of between the 1 to 17 goals in the exhibitor booths so that the retailers very visually could connect and see if that was something they were interested in. And it also just showed a very positive mark of what that brand was doing for people and or planet.
I'm always so kind of with that approach, I'm always interested to, and it's something we've talked about on this podcast before, to understand people's motives, I guess, to become more sustainable. What do you think? I know, you know, you've worked in the fashion industry for a while now, from kind of the early days of it's hippie and the fashion industry can't be sustainable, and those two words are like water and oil, to now where people are embracing it. Why do you think people are embracing it? Is it, you know, because it's what people want? It's the demand? It's because people think it's the right thing? What do you think the shift in attitude is because of?
I think we're still sitting in limbo with that, right? We're seeing that there's the people that just know this is the right thing to do, and that they understand that they can still run a business that they dream of and create profit and be financially sustainable whilst also still making a difference. You have got people that want to just make a difference and think using fashion as a vehicle can do that. And then you've got the other people that have been winning awards and seen as the best thing ever for years and have never implemented sustainability and really are being, you know, shocked here into action of people that are shaming them or calling them out or whatever the term you want to use is. But they're realizing that how they have been doing business is no longer acceptable. And whilst it's on the industry and experts that are currently demanding that, and now even consumer voices and associations speaking out, I think the only thing we're missing from making this change now is policy and true legislation from the government bodies saying you will be fined if business is not done this way, or this, this, and this has to happen, or you can't even actually legally move forward with your business. That's a whole other probably podcast and conversation. But I think we're in this place where there's actually not one thing that is responsible for this shift in narrative. And it's going to be like that for a while. There are the old schoolers that are like, well, and we'll just donate some of our profits. But do we really want money from brands that it's dirty money if it wasn't done right from the beginning? Do we want money to benefit a cause that was made by people that were harmed along the way of the production? Absolutely not. And I think the power of media, the power of social media, especially if it's done right and with responsible messaging, and even like what you're both doing here, being able to bring people together to educate and highlight, that is what is going to continue to shift the narrative, and we can only hope at a faster pace.
Great. Well, I guess as we've asked you tons of questions already, we'll switch gears to talk about our challenge before we sadly have to wrap up today. But yeah, on this week's challenge, Lydia and I wanted to look in our own wardrobes on what do we think is sustainable, what's shocking. And again, we did a challenge very similar to this on our very first episode, which was well over a year ago. So really keen to see what's changed, and then also get your opinion, Carrie, on what are some of those kind of top offenders we see in people's wardrobes today.
Brilliant.
So Lydia, what were some of yours? Favorite pieces? Were they good? Were they bad?
I like to think I've come away since our first episode where I said that my favorite sustainable fashion line was Zara's fashion.
However, they do have a good sustainable range. I have looked and I am quite impressed from when you said that comment and they had two items to now they have a whole section.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, got to give them some credit for that. But I think the main thing that's changed for me since we started is I just buy a lot less now. So I think that's one thing to note. I just I don't buy stuff unless I need it, or if I do need something, I'll look more for like either secondhand stuff. So I use things like Depop or Vinted and things like that, or I'll look for like a brand that has sustainable values embedded into it. So that is a positive. But I think an offender for me still is probably sportswear, like sports gym wear. Because I think the last time I bought it, I didn't go for one of the more sustainable brands because it's, I think it was just like a cost thing. And then the other reason that I think those are quite a bad offender is because you don't want to get secondhand gym wear, or I don't know if you can. You probably can do that, but I haven't really thought about doing that. So yeah, I think gym wear is my main offender. And then the other good thing that I've done is I've got I think borrowing clothes is good. So like I live with three other women and they all have nice clothes, so sometimes we swap, like for a special occasion we'll swap dresses, you know, we'll borrow each other's dresses and things like that. So that's a positive as well. Great. What about you, Ash?
Well, I think I've also come a long way since our first episode, because I'd like to think I'm quite, you know, sustainable in other things I do in terms of the way I eat and all of those things, but fashion was something that was always kind of a guilty pleasure. And I think on the first episode, quoting myself, I said that charity shops smelt like somebody died in them, which I've changed my way. So like, I really think that's one of my new things I've embraced, the whole second hand. Because as Carrie said, I really think there's enough great stuff that's already been produced that we don't need to be producing something just because it has a slightly extra puffier sleeve. So not to say that I think all that production should stop, but I think our first point of if we do need to buy, it should really be what's already out there. And luckily where I live, there's such nice charity shops that are, you know, great stuff, you know, probably more expensive than something I could normally afford if it was at a normal price shop. So yeah, that's been my win. In terms of kind of my trouble areas, I think it's jeans, sadly. I know you wear jeans so often, so it's, you do get a lot of use. It's not a one-time wear type of thing, but I find it really difficult to kind of get secondhand jeans or borrow people's jeans or get some from a sustainable brand that I'm just so attached to that brand. So yeah, jeans are a hard one. And why jeans? It's because it takes so much water to produce one pair of jeans. And I know the impact is so high. So yeah, that's my guilty offenders. What are your thoughts, Carrie?
No, it's so interesting hearing you both and being so honest too, which I think is incredible and probably so many of your listeners can relate to, because you try and try and try and things either aren't accessible or you don't know where to find these things. And it was actually interesting where now in this slowdown method that we're in, or those that are privileged enough to be in this moment, you're having the time to now be able to go online and research a little bit more of what's happening, as before we couldn't. And again, we were so busy and we were relying on what people were telling us and what the brands were telling us. And then you find out it's not as good as you had hoped or thought. And it changes and challenges the process for you. For the jeans, actually, there's a good few brands out there. And what's really interesting is I encourage everybody to really take some time and research what's going on in the denim space for impact, because for me it's been mind-blowing. They're coming up with innovations to almost have zero water involved in production of jeans. Wow. There's incredible things going on. And even those that are using water are then reusing it, or things are being recycled, or the water footprint is so low compared to what it was. The initiatives and the strides that are happening in the denim industry are incredible. And I look forward to the future when so much more of that can be communicated to the consumer, because I think one thing that connects so many of us is actually something denim in our wardrobes. It's with all of us, and what, even if you're not a jean lover, someone ends up having a jacket or something on a dress with detail. And so the denim one, I think once that makes further strides and can definitely be communicated more on the masses, I think could make massive change. And it's incredible what they want to do there. The sharing, I think, is interesting too. And you know, hearing you talk about the charity shops, I do sometimes wonder if the theme and name was changed of a charity shop and what that experience was like, so people would be involved in many different ways and approach it so differently. Okay. And in London, actually, in King's Cross, there's a store called Shelter. It's boutique Shelter. Yeah. And it's,
they have one near me, actually.
Love the layout, and I love it, and the neon, and the, and it was just so cool. And I was just in there when Coles Yard had, Yard had kind of, you know, first popped up. And I was just looking at this and I was like, this is super cool. And it had the way it was merchandised and visualed, it was like a boutique experience. And then you look at the price tag and you're like, hold on, this is actually secondhand clothing.
Yeah, definitely. And you get brand name stuff for a fraction.
And then it took it to another level, because I am that person that starts researching even further. And not only then is it secondhand, it's actually run by a homelessness shelter charity. Mm-hmm. And so the whole experience for me then was like, well, this is incredible. And so that was the last time I bought something in a store. I picked up a couple of things there. And then with lockdown, I've had nowhere to go event wise. And I've always had a very basic, small capsule collection of clothing for myself as basics. And then I would rent pieces and hold on to them for an event duration or wear them to a couple of events and then return them.
Mm. Yeah, I feel the whole renting culture is getting quite big. And I hope just like bringing life to, as you said, rebranding the whole secondhand. I went to this really cool clothing swap and it was at a members club. So it was, you know, quite, you know, all the people going there were, had great clothes and it was your swapping clothes. And it just really rebranded the whole I'm actually getting secondhand clothing. So yeah, I think that's what the industry needs, or just people being able to find something that works for them, that they enjoy.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guess on that note, before we let you go, Carrie, can you just give us, you know, some final reflections or anything to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, absolutely. For those that are interested to find out more about the Conscious Fashion Campaign, you can find our website at consciousfashioncampaign.com. We are very active on Instagram, especially in our stories. So feel free to find us or even tag us at the Conscious Fashion at Conscious Fashion Campaign. We love sharing people's stories, what they're up to. We want to be a platform that can highlight the things that are going on or brands to be checked out or solutions and innovations in conscious fashion. If people are intrigued about the sustainable development goals, there's a section on our website that will also take you to more in-depth information by the United Nations. And I would say at this point, I think the main thing is, as we are in the wake of this pandemic, is for those that are able to take some time to really look at what it means going forward and how you want to make your choices matter, and especially how you want to spend your money, because the pandemic is definitely shaking humanity to a core, and with that, our planet also. And so our choices and how we spend and what we support are going to matter so much.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on, educating us about some really interesting topics that I hope people can really resonate with and understand how they can shift their behaviors in positive ways within the industry.
Yeah, brilliant. And thank you both so much. I think this is great what you're doing. And thank you again for having me.
Of course. Well, have a wonderful day. And we can't wait to hear more of what you do throughout lockdown, post-lockdown, and the whole thing.
Likewise.
Yeah. And just think, if anyone wants to reach out to us, and if you've got any topic ideas or things you'd like us to cover, do just let us know. It's hello@podcastswitch.com, or on social media, it's @podcastswitch. So thank you so much.
And please do rate, review, and subscribe, because then you'll get the podcast automatically sent to you, and we can understand what you want to hear of and what more we can provide during this time.
All right.
Great. We'll speak to you all later. Bye, everyone.